Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is Professor John McDonald. John has previously been a National Men's Health Ambassador. He is the Foundation Chair in Primary Health Care at the Western Sydney University, and he's currently the Director of Men's Health Information and Resource Centre. He was born in Scotland, as will no doubt be revealed shortly. John, welcome to the program.
That's very kind of you. I'm very happy to be here, Bill. Thank you.
So, John, you've been on this program before in 2009, 2012. Do you think over that period that men's health has improved?
Wow. This, when we say men's health, do we mean the nation's attention to men's health or the actual status of men? Men's health status. I think that's a mixed bag as an answer. Some people are paying more attention to men's health, and some states are paying less attention than they used to. But in terms of status, there's no indication that the indices like male suicide have improved. In fact, there's some indication that maybe male suicide is not just as bad as it was, but it's slightly worse than it used to be. So that tells us something, surely.
And the theme for Men's Health Week is healthy body, healthy mind, keeping the balance. So I guess that takes in the suicide problem that you were just talking about.
Yes, you're right. And of course, it takes in lots of things. But I'm glad you mentioned Men's Health Week, because it's been run from this office of Men's Health Information and Resource Centre for over a decade now. And very good that you're saying something about Men's Health Week at this time, to encourage people to get involved and do something. Yes, and you're right. The idea of a balance is exactly what lots of people are on about. Parents are on about it too. They know that what's healthy for a child is to keep a balance between healthy body, healthy mind. It's an old Latin saying, isn't it? Yes. Mens sana in corpore sano. It's not new, but if we keep that, if we keep it to the forefront of what we're doing this week, I think it's very good. It saves us from just getting on that men should do this and men should do that and should go more to, you know, instead of berating men for not doing things, Men's Health Week is sort of saying, well, let's keep a balance and let's try and support men in what they're doing.
And when we say healthy body, you don't just mean the two pieces of fruit and five veggies every day, I take it?
No, absolutely not. In fact, even although it's our motto for this week, healthy body, healthy mind, we're part of, I suppose, dare I say it, modern health science, which realizes that the two go together. If you've got a healthy body, it does help you have a healthy mind. And if you've got a healthy mind, it does help you have a healthy body. And in fact, when you think of older men, present company included, even if the body begins to give out a bit in some ways, if somebody's happy and well-connected with society and his friends and has a lot of social support, he's going to survive. He's going to be well. And in that sense, we say even people who have got some disabilities, some vets coming back from terrible situations, they manage to keep themselves going. And some people would describe them as being disabled. But in fact, they are totally alive and well, and in that sense, healthy. We have to redefine what we mean by, you know, healthy minds and healthy bodies.
And the environment is obviously very important in coming to that conclusion.
Isn't it? Absolutely. And I think we've come, one of the great things, I think, about health, understanding health in the last decade, Bill, is that the environment, we used to think of important things, and they're still important. The water we drink, the air we breathe, you know, the built environment around us, all very important. But in the last 10, 15 years, we've come to understand that environment is much more than that. It's also the social, emotional, cultural environment in which we live. And those things can either support us in our efforts to be well, or they can bring us down a bit. As you say, the environment is so important.
Why is there this emphasis on the health of men and boys, do you think?
Well, and I really would put that another way. I would say, why not? Mm. Why not? Maybe, without being too difficult about this, maybe we have, if we look over the last 50 years, maybe we didn't really emphasize enough in terms of health service provision, men and boys. Understandably, we were interested in children and their primary carers, which are often mothers. Yeah? So mothers and children were have been our preoccupation for a long time, and they still remain that. One thing I want to make clear is that by talking about men's health, we're not in any way taking anything away from women's health. Of course not. We're trying to think of the whole of community. And you're right, there has been a slightly greater emphasis in some areas on men's health. And that's, I think, just to get precisely to get the balance right. For example, people talk of family health. And I've sometimes asked presenters at conferences when they talk of family health, who do they mean? And if they answer, oh, mother and children, of course, I say, yes, of course. But is that the entire family? Yes. Should we not also be thinking of the dad's role in that? Should we not just think about it? Should we not be seeing what we can do precisely in the environment to support dads as in their families? You know, paternal leave, but making it serious, trying to encourage for us to do things to help men get involved with their kids from as early on as possible. You know, that's a thinking which is going around the world. And I've recently been in Brazil, where they also are one of the three countries in the world, that's Ireland, Australia, and Brazil, to have a men's health policy. And in Brazil, they're really pushing the men's health policy. I'll talk about that if you like in a minute. But they're encouraging, among other things, dads as fathers, a big program to encourage men to get involved with their kids. It's good for the wife, it's good for the kids, it's good for the man himself.
Yes, I think you were a consultant in the formation of the men's health policy, which was back in 2010.
That's correct. That's right. I was. Yes. Ask me about it. Yes.
Well, we've had now since 2010, and as you say, it makes us different from some other countries, but do we still have the problems that are showing up all around the world?
Yes, we do. And since you mentioned the policy, I will say that I don't regret the hours and the weeks and months I spent. I wasn't alone, but helping construct that policy. I have to say, however, that when I look at things like the Irish policy and the Brazilian policy, ours has very good ideas, not just talking about problems, but it's called building on the strength of Australian males, so helping men, you know, be healthy. But what our policy didn't have, and I'll be criticized for saying this, but that's fine, it didn't have any money. But the money it did have was some money for men's sheds, which were already surviving, and some money for a men's health policy, a men's health study, which looks at, and it's very, very good. It's run by Melbourne University, and it's called the 10 to Men study, and it looks at the health of men and boys over a period that's longitudinal. And we've not had that kind of evidence before. It also looks at the social determinants of health, the environment in which they live, and love, and work, and play, and issues like that. And so it's a really excellent study. And that was funded by the male health policy. But the male health policy, I'm sad to say, didn't really set targets or give funding for anything else.
So limited expectation. Well, you just mentioned then the Australian Men's Sheds Association, and you are a patron of the men's sheds. That would bring into play all those social factors that you mentioned a few minutes ago about the mental health perhaps of older men, that they get together with a group and do something productive.
The one thing we have to say is that, of course, men's sheds are not clinics. They're not a substitute for a doctor's waiting room or community health services, which should be more interested in men, incidentally, but they're not. But they do support men, and they do offer social support, and therefore, in that way, are clearly important for men's health. And one of my PhD students finished fairly recently a study of the health benefits of sheds. His name's Luckman Clambello, and he didn't just ask men what the shed's good for them. And people said, well, that's just asking. Some more medically inclined people would say, but is that research? So what he did was he measured things like the cortisol, the stress hormone, before men joined the shed, and to see how much it dropped. And it did, of course, drop when they had joined the shed. So he could actually, in that sense, you could say, we can measure the benefits of social support, such as that offered. particular men in a particular community want. And the essence of it, as far as I am concerned, is that it allows men to get together and it offers them social support, which, to be honest, is not often common in our society.
It's a wonderful success story that started in Australia. So we are speaking today with Professor John McDonald, who from the Men's Health Information and Resource Centre at Western Sydney University. We're going to take a break now, and we're going to listen to a song by Jimmy Cliff called Many Rivers to Cross. And John, I think you've got a bit of a story about this song.
Let's hear the song first then, Bill.
Okay. And that was Many Rivers to Cross by Jimmy Cliff. And our guest today is Professor John McDonald. And John has a story about that particular song.
Yes, well, it's lovely for me to hear it again because I lived and worked in Zambia in Africa for 10 years, very happily. And Jimmy Cliff was called by my local Zambian friends the uncrowned king of Zambia. People just love and still love Jimmy Cliff. And so when I hear it again, it takes me back. But yes, and I think in the sense of the song, One More, you know, A River to Cross, it's, of course there are obstacles in the way of everybody's trajectory through life, and men have them as well. But the great thing is, like the Men's Health Policy says, building on the strengths of Australian males. But without generalizing too much, Australian men have shown themselves to be resilient in all kinds of situations, and that's the kind of thing we want to build on. As Jimmy would have it. So it's quite a song for us, yes.
Now, just looking at some of the figures, I noticed that the life expectancy for women is so much longer than it is for men, and yet we're often told we live in a patriarchy. What is the real reason for this lag in the men's life expectancy, do you think?
The $60,000 question. There's no right and wrong answer to that. One simple answer might be that women are stronger than men and that biologically built, although they don't all have children, but biologically built to have children, that gives them a special endurance, strength of endurance. Some people suggest that. Other people suggest that certainly quite a few academics in Australia and elsewhere suggest men don't live as long because men don't take care of themselves, men don't go to the doctors, masculinity is bad for men. So that kind of negative approach to men, as in a sense saying it's their fault they don't live as long as women. But there's no real answer, I think, no clear answer, Bill. And it's clear, however, that men are living longer than they used to, as women are as well, with the notable exception, and the shame of our country, and some people don't like me saying this, but Aboriginal women don't live as long as non-Aboriginal women, and Aboriginal men often die around the age of 56, whereas old codgers like me can hope to live into our 80s, and that's not the case for Aboriginal men who are dying much earlier. And that, I think, gives us a hint of some of the things that we now understand better about health. You mentioned environment. The whole environment, the historical, social, cultural, financial environment affect our health. I'm not giving you an easy answer because I don't have one, but you're right to acknowledge it, that there are issues to be addressed, that hopefully we can help men live longer and maybe have parity between the genders, the sexes, as we go on in life.
Has stress been identified as one of those causes for the earlier deaths?
Stress is certainly identified by the World Health Organization as a major cause of death, of not just the suicide, obviously, but the related to all kinds of diseases and conditions. People are realizing how much stress is associated. And in the context you're asking me, I suppose we could say that, yes, maybe, and these are generalizations, so excuse me if they seem a bit crude, that women also have very stressful lives, but perhaps given the socialization of women, maybe they have had the chance to share with other women, with friends and support, and ways of dealing with stress, which if men are spending most of their time, many men, again, it's a generalization, but many men are spending their time at work, you know, from 9 to 5 or whatever, going to work and coming back, then they don't have the same, they sometimes don't have the same means of relieving stress, of dealing with stress that might be available to many women. So yes, the build-up of stress, and the example I gave of the shed movement, I mean, and my one student who did that PhD, which we'll publish soon, make it in more accessible form, it's clear that things like the shed movement alleviate men's stress, they take away stress, and therefore are adding not just to their health, but probably to the lifespan as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the more you take away stress, the more you deal with it, the better chance you have of resisting disease, other diseases, and living longer.
And the fact that men are at work might lead to another problem. You've argued for male-friendly services at, say, the doctors, and I guess when doctors aren't open at the right hours for men, that's going to create another problem.
Isn't it? I mean, some people say that's too simplistic, but let's face it, if you get up in the morning and you drive an hour or half, three-quarters of an hour to work, and you work for, who knows, 8 hours, and you drive in a way, but hopefully in a job that gives some satisfaction, but that isn't guaranteed. And then at least it brings money to the family. I think there's nothing wrong in supporting men as breadwinners. That's not something to be despised. Many women are also breadwinners now, and we certainly wouldn't despise that. But when you come home at night after the traffic, the transport, the work, and then you're supposed to find a doctor who's open at that time. It's not always possible. Yeah, I do think we can be much more male-friendly in our attitude, both in community health and in our GP practice. Many GPs are trying to offer days or evenings, especially for men. Some are doing that, and some are trying to stay open so that men can access when they like, yes.
And that is one of the positive things you're encouraging in what you call health snapshots. And there are a few others here. You suggest positive role models, social connection, which we've talked about, education. Is that another driver?
Definitely. You mean education in general? Of course it is. I think that education is clearly important for people's health. But education in the broad sense of the way society prepares us, educates us for our roles in life, I think that's partly what I was saying. I'm encouraging men as fathers, encouraging men to, and building on the strength of men, But could I just say something about Men's Health Week and come back to me with any questions you like, Bill? Mm-hmm. Men's Health Week, I think it's good to remember it's not telling people what to do. There's other excellent programs which collect funds for very worthy causes and suggesting about hair in your head or in your chin and collect money. These are excellent fundraising opportunities. What we've tried to do in Men's Health Week is say across the whole country to anybody, do something for men during that week. It's up to you to do what you like. You can, and there's lots of examples. Some people have done barbecues, health expos, they've done blood pressure checks, health checks, golf day, fun run, foot golf, charity ball, hearing checks, etc. All over the country for the last years, we've had these engaged people who've said, okay, what we need in our, and what we can do in our community is this, and they've gone ahead with an event like this, which is not telling people what to do, it's saying, raise the issue of the importance of men's health and their contribution to society, and let's do something on that in that week for them. And there's been lots of examples across the country of people doing all kinds of interesting things.
It'd be nice if we could bring all these things together. Like, there's a big push in rugby league at the moment for brain cancer, and next weekend is going to be fundraising for brain cancer. You know, if we could sort of perhaps link that with men's health, because men suffer more brain cancers than women, that would be a good thing.
Absolutely. But what I tried to say there about focusing on prostate cancer or brain cancer or depression, when we kind of choose one topic, I think it's easier to get popular imagination around it. And I suppose we are, in a sense, barking up not the wrong tree, but a bigger tree, and we're saying, okay, these are individually good things, but we're trying to look at, in Men's Health, we've tried to look at the whole guy, the whole person, you know, his mental and physical health, his brain is part of it, prostate is part of it, etc. Bowel cancer is very important too, that men should screen more, and we should try to encourage that. But these are part of the picture. We should be thinking in a more holistic way. As indeed parents, when they think about their children, they don't just think of, you know, the child should get a vaccination and that's the health taken care of, or the child should eat 5 vegetables and that's the health taken. They think of the whole well-being of the child, how the child communicates at school, how the child feels about herself, about himself. Parents have instinctively a more holistic view of health. And because we've been confusing health with health services, we sometimes think that health, in this case, health for men, must be a particular health service, you know, like prostate or like erectile dysfunction. These are very important things, but we have to try to think of, in a sense, the big picture, men as a whole, men's whole life, you know, and boys' whole life.
Yes, well, and a big part of men's life is employment. Now, that's perhaps where men's sheds comes back into the picture, because when a man leaves his employment, some men find they've got nothing to do, and before you know it, you know, they're in trouble health-wise. They might only have a year or so to go. That's another aspect that I think hasn't been properly looked at.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But I think since we mentioned the issue, and you rightly mentioned the issue of employment, it's not just after employment, the way you're suggesting it, a sense of meaning often disappears after one leaves one's regular employment, and people should be ready for that and ready to support men who've lost that sense of meaning in their life. But employment can affect, long before that, people's health. Women as well as men, of course. And I think we have to acknowledge that in Australia we are facing an enormous amount of men and women who are facing insecure employment, that they're not quite sure the next year or the year after that. And that, you mentioned stress, Bill, and that's very stressful for someone who's got a family and wants to see himself or herself even as contributing to the well-being of the family into the future, and yet is not sure if there's going to be a job in the future. That's something I think society has to look at, not just the convenience of the employer for short-time, you know, part-time employment, but to think of the need for a family who needs to have some security and job security into the future. People are understanding that more and more, and I hope that gets translated into policy about offering people secure employment.
And we're speaking today with Professor John McDonald. We're going to listen to another song now, which I'm hoping is where we get to after Men's Health Week at some time in the future. This is a song called I Feel Fine by the Beatles.
Yeah. baby's good to me. You know she's happy as can be. You know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine. You know she tells me all the time. You know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine.
And that was I Feel Fine by The Beatles. And we've been speaking today with Professor John McDonald. John, it just remains for me now to thank you very much for being on the program.
No, Bill, it's for me to thank you both for what you do and that's in the air, and also to highlight the importance of Men's Health Week. I think that's great, and I hope I've contributed a little bit to your idea to send this out through the world to broadcast it more widely. Thank you very much, Bill.
Oh, thank you, John. It's great, always great to talk to you. And we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.